You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hello.
Hello, Devin.
Hello.
And before we got going, everybody, just to let you know, they wanted the intro done in Scooby-Doo voice. Raggy? You're listening to Red Eye and Verms on Raggy.
I retract my request, and we are not going to do that.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, exactly. I will give you a Scooby snack to never do that again.
Well, you know, anyway, whatever. All right, guys, it's been a couple of weeks. We took a week off. There wasn't a lot of news last week, and it's good to kind of take a week off once in a while. So we did. But here we are, and we got some I wondered whether we were going to pull some stuff out this week, and actually we did. There's quite a bit we can touch on this week. Let's kick it off with some Utah Jazz news. John, Donovan Mitchell's been headlining some news lately. Have you noticed?
I have. He's so dynamic that he's going to make headlines every week. Doesn't matter what he does.
I know. I agree. The latest being he helped out a fan at an Apple store yesterday. The story goes, and Andy Larson printed it on KSL, the story, and I didn't get a chance to read it fully, but story goes, this guy had a broken phone, needed a replacement, something like that. I don't remember what it was, but sitting there talking to somebody, not realizing who he's talking to, and it happens to be Donovan, and Donovan turns around and buys the new, does he buy the phone, or does he buy the fix, the part, or whatever it was?
What it was is the guy, this was actually tweeted out, I believe, by the brother, and John,
yes,
correct me if I'm wrong, said that his brother was a little bit of a developmental disability, was in there getting his phone looked at, talking to the Apple guy,
right?
And the guy says, hey, you're going to have to pay so much for it. And the guy's like, I don't have it, you know. And Donovan overheard him just being in the store at the same time.
Right.
And came over and offered to pay for the repairs on the phone. And one of the things that I saw people online saying is, well, just buy the guy a new phone.
Yeah.
I hate getting a new phone. So, you know, please repair it for me.
I just think the story's cool. Like, really cool. John?
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, he would have done it, and if no one had found out about it, you know, he still would have done the exact same thing. So it's cool when stuff like that comes to light. It's just nice. It's a feel good story. Sometimes we don't get enough feel good stories, and you know,
absolutely,
just shows the kind of great.
Now, let me ask you guys: do you think that more NBA players are doing this, and we're just not hearing about it, or do you think that Donovan is kind of a step above in the way that he interacts with fans and how he reaches out to people? Because I want to say that I think Donovan is the special guy, but at the same time, I want to believe that these guys would do that. You know what I mean? That,
yeah,
people on multi-million dollar contracts, I mean, Donovan's on a rookie contract, but, you know, these veteran players, I would think that they'd go out and do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think.
I bet you they do. I bet you a ton of them do. And I bet that, you know, in the other 29 markets, there are stories that get picked up about what their guys are doing.
Agreed.
In their community.
And I think it's a little of both, though, because I think Donovan is that kind of guy, too. I finally got to listen to him on the Woj pod. That interview was stellar. And he talked about things like this and how he enjoys giving back to the community and enjoys interaction with fans. But, you know, and he just loves doing it. And so, no, I think it's a little of both. So I think there's plenty that goes on around the NBA that we just don't know about. Similarly, story wise to that.
Well, here's the thing. I do think Donovan is an absolute class act, and I'm not trying to take away from that at all. But I want to look at the other guys and that have come to the Jazz in recent years.
Right.
And you've seen the things that they're doing, you know, Ricky Rubio, a fantastic example of service in the community. Before him, George Hill comes to the team, and didn't he do something right away? He did some act of service for a stranger on the street. I don't remember what it was specifically.
I don't remember either.
But I remember hearing about it. And you just have to think that these guys don't just come to Utah and then they're magically generous people. I just, it's interesting because it did go out on a national scale. I mean, it was picked up by Bleacher Report. It was out there, you know, I think on all platforms, on social media. So I don't know, something to kind of think about. Maybe these NBA players are a little more generous than we give them credit for.
I think so. So, more Donovan news. NBA has released its handles of the hashtag handles of the week over the last week. Donovan's made that list quite a bit. John, I don't know whether you've seen much of it. Devin said he hadn't, but how much of the videos have you seen posted out there this week that have been about Donovan?
I think I've seen like three of them, but I haven't been keeping track of the top 100. Have you actually counted?
Last count, I think I had him at four, but I'm not sure. It was either four or five. Royce O'Neal also cracked the top 70, I think, with one as well. So you've got Donovan in there with four or five, and then Royce as well. But that's the last count I had. I went and looked down the NBA timeline yesterday to try and figure out, and I think I got to at least four from Donovan.
Yeah.
And one from Royce.
What is that? Is that acceptable Scooby moment right there?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So, John, any thoughts on this? I mean, it's pretty kind of cool they're releasing this week.
It's something for NBA fans to digest while we're just waiting for preseason to get here.
Yeah. And it has been, we're hitting the dog days of summer. So, I mean, it's almost football season, but man, I can't wait. October preseason around the corner. Here we come. So, next on the news list of Utah Jazz is, Rudy flipped the switch. Rudy has been quite vocal on Twitter lately, actually more than vocal, visual, posting a lot of pics of his workouts and of himself. The recent one was wearing a hoodie, wide open hoodie, and said, "Flip the switch." Did you catch that tweet?
Yep.
And then Mitchell responds later that day with flipping his own switch. Looked like he was up at the University of Utah working out on the football practice field, maybe, or football field. What do you think of these of the way Donovan and Rudy are approaching sharing their fitness profiles and the things that they're doing on Twitter like this? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's great. I mean, it's nice to see that Rudy has washboard abs that you could play a country song on, and that Donovan on it. I'd love to see Joe jump in on it and just, you know, showing him just sitting there drinking coffee and not really. This is all I need.
this is Joe flipping the switch.
sorry. I stepped out of the studio for a minute. I came back. I heard washboard abs. Were you guys talking about me while I was gone?
No.
What was that?
Sorry, Dev. Sorry. Oh. We were just talking about, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked John. I mean, Rudy flipped the switch. Donovan flipped it. Rudy and Donovan have both been sharing quite a bit on whether it be Instagram or Twitter, their fitness profiles, if you will, or personas. They're showing what they're doing. They're showing the way they're getting in fit. What do you think of all of this?
I think John's right that the dad bod is really hot right now. And so
so Joe needs to get in on this action.
I think Joe is doing everything that he needs to. The Rudy pictures?
But I'm just saying
the Rudy who he was standing next to a trainer.
Yep. Yep.
And he didn't look human.
I'm not going to lie, Rudy's looking good. He looks like he's put on some muscle. He's looking real good.
Rudy looks scary good.
I know.
Like I know we talked about his fitness when we had Jared on the show last week, or not his fitness. We talked about his fashion sense. But I mean, from an NBA standpoint, you have to remember what Rudy looked like when he came into the league.
Oh yeah.
He was not much of a bigger frame than say Jeremy Evans when Evans was on the team.
Nope.
You know?
Yep.
And you look at him now and just like the strength, the upper body strength that he has that you can see this offseason, he's taking it a step further every year, and I'm really excited to see what he can do.
I'm excited to see it transpose over to the basketball court. I think it'll imagine it will help his game immensely.
I haven't seen the Donovan Mitchell ones of which you speak.
The one I'm speaking of is the same day as Rudy posted Flip the Switch. Donovan was up at the U on the football field. I don't know if it was the practice field or if it was the main field. I couldn't tell. It was practice field, I think.
See, here's the thing. This is what I like about it. I think Rudy posting these things is one, Rudy showing off, because I and I'm totally okay with that. But I think that Rudy being on the team pushes his teammates to be better.
Agreed.
And I think he does it in a different way than, say, a Kobe Bryant.
It's almost Karl Malone-esque, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Wouldn't you think, John? I mean, Kobe was a very vocal leader. I get the feeling that Rudy will talk to his guys on the court and kind of be that floor general. But I think when it comes to work ethic, I think Rudy just kind of sets the tone with what he does.
Yeah, I've heard that about Rudy, that he's very vocal on the court. And really pretty much as soon as Hayward left, a lot of people are saying this is Rudy's team. And I think he has accepted that and lives by that. And he really has been. I mean, when they went 19-28 and he said, we'll be fine. True. They rallied to that.
Yep.
And yeah, Donovan's great. Everyone loves him. He's awesome little brother, but it is Rudy's team.
Well,
now it's really Rudy and Donovan's team,
yes. But
you know, the vet that everyone can rotate around.
Well, and go back to what he said on the Low Post podcast with Zach Lowe. Zach said he had heard from somebody, and I think he mentioned Alec Jensen, that shortly after Hayward left last year, that Rudy rallied the troops together, rallied everybody together, and said, we're going to be better without him.
Yeah.
We're going to be better. And he asked Rudy if that's what he said, and Rudy said, yeah, that's what I said. And Zach said, did you actually believe it? And Rudy says, yeah, and look at us, we were. So you're right. He's rallying the troops. He's a vocal leader, and he's not afraid to say what's on his mind. And it was very interesting to hear that on the Low Post podcast a little bit with Zach Lowe. So, all right, last bit of news on the Jazz front. Again, it's Donovan Mitchell. I saw a tweet. Bleacher Report retweeted somebody supporting Kaepernick, who had been left out of NFL Madden. The Madden, what was it, 2K17, 18, whatever it was, that he'd been left out. And Donovan, quote, tweeted Bleacher Report, said, I'm not buying it this year.
Well, it wasn't that. It was, there's a song in there.
Okay.
Where Kaepernick's name is in the song, and they bleeped his name. And the guy that wrote, I think it was Big Sean, his song, and Kaepernick's name is in there, and they bleeped it, and he pointed it out, and Bleacher Report picked it up, and Donovan said, guess I'm not buying Madden this year.
Right. Now, Devin,
I think Madden 19.
That's what it was. Now, Devin, you mentioned that has been since retracted or fixed.
Yeah, from what I heard, they are going to correct that. They're going to put the cap name back in the song. I had to wonder, because it was one of those things. It could come down to, I would wonder with the lawsuit that Kaepernick has against the NFL.
Could be.
If that was what it was. You just don't know with these things. I believe they've done it with other names or things that they've taken out of the song because of concerns about royalties or things like
right.
that. I wouldn't think that would be a concern, because if the name's in the song, then it's part of
right.
you know, the money for that song. But I don't know.
I just found it interesting that Donovan came to the support of Kaepernick, and then Rudy quote tweeted Donovan, said, go get him, or you tell him, Spida, something like that. Thoughts on Donovan and Rudy supporting backing Kaepernick like this? You guys, what do you think?
I approve.
Yeah.
Mike, it's dumb to bleep his name in a song. It's just dumb.
I know. It totally is.
Like I said, if there was a copyright reason for it or a lawsuit or something like that, that's one thing.
Right.
I think if you had just left it alone, they would have been better off. I think it's just a stupid move.
Right.
But as far as the Jazz go, some fans I know are probably not going to like it.
Oh, absolutely.
But this is your two best players, so you're probably going to deal with it and still like the players. I I like to see this from our guys. I like to see them being vocal about things that they feel is important to them. I want to know who they are as people, not just, you know, that they can play. And it's one of those things, if I think it comes back again to Rudy, because Rudy has been a very vocal person on Twitter when it comes to social issues. And so I think him having the courage to do that sets the tone again and lets Donovan, you know, going to be a sophomore in the league, like I said, still rookie deal, gives him the courage to go out and speak his mind. Now, is Donovan good enough that he probably could have done this without Rudy having set the tone?
Absolutely.
But I think it helps everyone on the team feel more comfortable. And you see it from a lot of these guys in the NBA. And, you know, I'm okay with it.
It's interesting, John, you tweeted out while we were talking that we were recording. What do you want to talk about? Good friend Chad Nielsen, Lord Chadius, responded. And this is one of the things he brought up. He brought up sports and politics, but he brought up Donovan taking his stance for Cap. So great timing, Chad, great timing. You brought up something we're already talking about. So, all right, let's move on to the meat of our show. John, you've been watching the Sky Bet news coming off of the Twitter feed from a few of our friends. Who is it? RG. Who's the one?
RGISS11.
I'm going to get his handle wrong. Good buddy of ours. We interact with him a lot on Twitter. I'm going to go out and find his handle to make sure, but he brought up the whole Sky Bet thing. John, let's kick this off. This is huge.
Yeah. RGISS11 is his handle.
There you go.
Yeah. He had tweeted out the thing from Sky Bet, and I saw that and went, oh my goodness, I want to bet on this thing. I actually went to their site and I think I just might actually do it. But they put out their odds on the records for all 30 NBA teams. And when we do our preseason picks, we usually go off of the Vegas odds, and I try to do it as close to right before preseason starts so we can get a good idea. This came out, I think this was put out on July 30th or 31st. And this is where they put everybody. For the West, they had Golden State at 68.5. I think that's actually pretty decent, although I think I'd take the under, because Houston, 56.5, which is probably also a pretty good one. Then we start to get a little bit crazier. They have the Lakers being third in the West at 52.5. They have the Spurs being fourth at 45.5. They have a three-way tie for fifth between Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and Utah at 44.5. They have a three-way tie for eighth between Denver, New Orleans, and Portland at 43.5. Then you go to 11th. They have the Clippers at 35.5, Phoenix at 34.5, Dallas at 30.5, Memphis at 27.5, and Sacramento at 27.5.
Wow.
There is some easy money in some of those.
Absolutely, there is. I can tell you the top five right off the bat. Top six are easy.
I want that
money.
Lakers money now.
Yeah, right?
I know they got LeBron, but I'm not giving them that many wins.
Oh, my goodness. And the Jazz. I'm taking the Jazz money on that one, too.
Yep.
I mean, you miss Rudy half a year last year, and they still won 48 games in a very good Western Conference. So I'm taking that 44.5, and I'm running with the over on that one. San Antonio is an intriguing one to me too, John. What do you think about that one?
That one's about right.
You think?
Because yeah, they were a playoff team last year when Kawhi only played 9 games, and now they have DeMar DeRozan. So yeah, I do think they'll be a playoff team again, and a playoff team at about 45.5. 45.5 is the 8th seed.
Right.
But I mean, realistically, that's the 8th seed. But yeah, that's about right. That would be a hard one for me. Okay, let's put it this way. If I'm betting real money and I'm picking, say, 5 to bet on, I'm not using the Spurs as one of them.
Fair. I'm with you. If I'm using money on any of them, I'm using it on the Lakers, on Utah. OKC, I'm going to go as well, because I think that's a little low, because I think without Carmelo and with a revamped roster a little bit with Schrader, I think they're going to be better than 44.5 as well. So those are three teams I'm going to go automatically. And I'd even go the same for either New Orleans or Portland. One of those two teams I'd be willing to put a little money on, because 43.5, well, yeah, I don't know. Or even Denver. That three-way tie for Denver, Portland, and New Orleans is an intriguing one to me.
Yeah, but look in the East.
Well, hold on. We'll get to the East in a second. We're talking West right now. How many?
But look at the East, guys. There's money to be made in the East.
Before we move to the East, is LA at least a guaranteed playoff team with LeBron? Because I think they are.
Not necessarily. And I'm pretty sure they will be. But you look at Cleveland's record last year with LeBron in an easier conference, they still came in fourth.
Okay.
The West, the roster, I don't know you can really say it's that much better than what was surrounding him in Cleveland.
There's more talent.
No. Let me ask you this. Who is the second best player on that roster
right now?
Ingram.
Yes. And I like Ingram a lot.
But is Ingram enough?
He's got a lot of talent about him. If he's unleashed, I could see him going places.
Compare him to Kevin Love.
Right, right.
I don't even know who your third best player was in Cleveland. I think it was probably Korver.
Don't you think Stevenson or Rondo end up in their top three or four players though too, and deservedly so, right? Yes.
I just don't think that the Lakers roster is built to succeed. I think it's built to 2 or 3 years down the road.
Okay.
I think they have young talent that's going to develop.
I'm just saying I think they're an automatic seventh or eighth seed. That's just me.
I don't guarantee it. I would not be surprised if they made it, but I wouldn't be absolutely stunned if they came in ninth.
Okay.
The West is just that good.
I agree. Well, I'm not discounting that at all.
And people got better.
I'm also
yeah.
Would you take Phoenix on 34.5? Because I actually think I'd take Phoenix better than that as well. Wouldn't you? Maybe.
I don't know.
Okay. I'm just throwing thoughts out.
They have a new coach. They got more talent, but I don't know if that's enough to have a Quinn Snyder-esque turnaround.
No, good point.
I mean, they added...
Ariza.
They added Ariza. They added the number one pick in the draft.
Yes, they did. They've got a coach who's got a good track record in developing players with the Jazz when he was here with Quinn, so... Maybe he develops the young talent there enough. I don't know, but you're right. All right, let's move to the East, though, John.
Okay. East, number one, Boston, 57.5. Number two, Philadelphia, 56.5. Toronto is third. Actually, Toronto and Washington are tied at 47.5. Miami at fifth at 43.5. Milwaukee at 42.5. Indiana is seventh at 41.5. The Knicks are at 39.5. The Knicks is eighth seed. Interesting. Ninth is Charlotte. Actually, three-way tie for ninth between Charlotte, Cleveland, and Detroit at 35.5. Orlando and Chicago tied for 12th at 28.5. Atlanta at 26.5. And last is Brooklyn at 25.5.
Okay. Who stands out to you?
I'll go. Wowie Kazowie.
Okay, but that's not who. That's just your reaction. Who?
No. That's you know who Wowie Kazowie is. If you don't know who Wowie Kazowie is, you haven't been on Twitter enough. I would give the Pistons more wins than that.
Okay.
I think they should be able to with Griffin and Drummond for a full season together.
And Dwayne Casey.
Is that where Casey ended up? Detroit?
Yes.
Oh, Wowie Kazowie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first place I'm putting my money.
Okay. I'm with you. Detroit, I looked at that very hard and agree. I think they're a playoff team. John, who on that list stood out to you?
It stood out to me that they still have Indiana that low.
Yeah,
I would hold on Indiana.
So money on Indiana right off the bat at 41.5.
Indiana's gonna regress.
Right.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty easy.
I think that's a little high for Miami, too, don't you think?
Did they really improve? Who did they even add this offseason?
I don't know that they added anybody, did they?
Yeah, probably Whiteside. I'm looking at their roster. It looks pretty much the same. Yeah, I don't know.
I think
Spoh's really good. They had some major runs last year, but I don't know. I don't know about them.
I think the wins could be accurate there,
but the placement.
But the placement of being in that fifth seed, I think that might be a little high. That's that's just where I'm at.
I gotcha. And I'm going to call that Toronto Washington duo a bit of a trap, though. I don't know. You want to put money on either of those because
Toronto, I kind of do.
Do you?
If Kawhi is willing to play and if Kawhi is healthy, then yeah, I think they're winning that many games.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Kawhi's healthy. Toronto's guaranteed a 50-win season.
Does Philly get to 56 this year?
See, that's one where I'm wondering if it's too high because they actually lost some really good role players.
Right.
And I can't even remember who they added. I don't think they added anyone important. They couldn't quite clinch keeping Jelic, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He's the one we're kind of curious about, but he wound up going to the Kings because they gave him a 2-year deal.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, you know, it's another season of Embiid and Simmons, and their improvement is great. But their biggest offseason acquisitions are Mike Muscala and Wilson Chandler. And they lost Ilyasova, they lost Bellinelli, they lost TLC.
I'm also going to say that 56 wins hinders on whether Embiid stays healthy for the entire season, which he hasn't proven he can do that yet.
True.
You guys.
Yeah, so I don't know if you get there either.
You may think I'm crazy, but there's one that I would be tempted by, and it comes after the ones we've talked about.
You're going New York, aren't you?
No. That Atlanta win total is very low, and yet seems somewhat high.
Yeah.
Does Atlanta have 27 wins in them this season?
That's a good question.
They are starting Trae Young, who is, I'm betting, is going to have quite a rookie wall of season.
Right.
If Summer League's any indication, I think he's going to have some amazing games where going, okay, maybe he's pulled it together. Maybe even more like a Devin Booker season where he just was just wildly inconsistent and got spotty minutes. And then the second half of the season, when they're really losing everything, they just let him go out there and go wild and actually puts up a lot of good numbers.
Right.
But if you're starting Trae Young, they got rid of Schroeder. So it's like Trae Young, Kent Bazemore, Plumlee, John Collins. I mean, that's an interesting young team that is going to lose a lot.
Right.
And that's what this is. I think they're going to be purposefully tanking. Who even got the coaching job there?
Oh, crap. Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. I can think of his name right off the bat because he's been working with Young closely.
Who went there?
Oh, my gosh.
No, Clifford went to Orlando.
No.
It was Lloyd Pierce.
Yes, Lloyd Pierce. That's who it was. I was going to say Pierce, but I didn't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. See, and that is a development hire. That is a hire where you're like, we're okay if you.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, he coached through the, was an assistant coach through the process. So, yeah. Good for him. He's gonna have some process in Atlanta too, but he's gonna have some security knowing that it's really okay for them to do a 20-win season this year and get that awesome draft pick, and then right. Try next year.
Right.
Yeah, Atlanta. Jeez, I would not mind taking the under on Atlanta. I think that's actually.
It's scary because it's such a low number. And it's in the East. But
yeah.
I think they could end up around 23 wins. I don't think that's beyond reason.
No. No, not at all. and they're in the East, and but see, that's the other thing. They're in the East, so they might get some wins, and that might be why they're posting it a little high, is because they're in the East, and they might get some wins that you wouldn't count on them getting on the regular, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, that's our Sky Bet talk predictions. That's where it sits right now. You had a couple other NBA notes before we moved on, so let's hit some NBA news and notes.
Melo is now finally officially a Rocket. The trade that OKC was able to pull off, I think, is great for them. Atlanta ate a ton of salary to get a first-round pick out of it. Good for them. And, you know, now Melo can go to the Rocket and hope that he's in a situation where he can get a lot more catch-and-shoot opportunities than he had. I think the Rockets have lost a lot on defense. I mean, defender PJ Tucker is a really good defender. Lose Ariza, lose him, you gain Carmelo. And the Rockets are already a thin team. They have a thin bench. So, I don't know.
Yeah, you were breaking up a little bit there, but I think we got the gist of it. But the one that you didn't mention is that they finally signed Capella to a long-term deal as well. So they,
yeah, that I can't believe I didn't leave say Capella, but yeah. So they still have some really good defenders. It's going to be a lot easier to find weaknesses in those rotations. There's going to have to be a lot of.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'll be interested to see how that turns out. I did read a piece and I retweeted it, but a couple weeks ago, about Carmelo, and catch and shoot opportunities are going to be there for him. It's a question of whether he'll evolve his game enough to accept the role as catch and shoot, because he didn't want that in OKC, not at all. And that didn't bode well for him or OKC. So if he's willing to take that role and run with it in Houston, that might actually be a good marriage for them. But like you said, they're losing quite a bit on the defensive side of the ball. They're a team that I'm going to be watching closely, not named the Utah Jazz, because I'm going to be curious to see how Houston survives and what D'Antoni can do adding Melo to the mix and losing a guy like Ariza.
Yeah.
So, other news, you mentioned Milwaukee. They waived Jennings?
Yeah. Surprising. I mean, they brought him back. He's a local favorite, but he just didn't really do anything for them last year. I mean, they just had a weird roster last year. So, yeah, his second year wasn't guaranteed, so they're not really losing money. They just decided there's just not enough reason to keep him. They got Dante DiVincenzo in the draft. He like a pretty good pickup where they got him, and they're going to just let him study to be the backup point guard to Bledsoe, I guess. So,
yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it for NBA news and notes. And guys, it's been a NBA packed show, which, hey, that's what we love to talk about and specialize in. So, but let's move on from NBA talk over to Devin's quick hits.
Oh, you think we're done with NBA talk?
Oh, you got more?
You think we're done?
Hey.
Okay, we're going to start with a light one. Earlier this year, we talked about Giannis and his trying new things.
The food. Right.
And I don't have any food to report on because he hasn't been keeping us in the loop. But there is a photograph that was posted on his Instagram, and Giannis looks freaking jacked. Did you guys see it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yes, he does.
Is Giannis going to be a force to be reckoned with this season?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing your preseason MVP picks and you make your top five list, he's in there. He just has to be.
Absolutely, he does.
But, I mean, in terms of his workout, is that going to make a difference for a guy with his skill set, or should we be more concerned with his shooting range or something like that? Because we've always known he's a freak of an athlete.
I'm with you on, okay, so you mentioned exactly where I was going to go. I think his shooting is going to be something he needs to work on. Remember back in the day where LeBron was just a freak of nature and everybody talked about it, and his free throws were such an issue, and his three-point percentage wasn't all that great at the time, and he had to work on that, and he did. I think Giannis is at that part in his career where he's going to have to start working on that. Wouldn't you agree, John?
Yeah, he can cover so much ground, though, that it's okay that his shooting isn't better, at least to this point in his career. Let's see, what was he at three last year? Okay, so he's only 31% from three last year. He's not an outside shooter.
Right.
But if you put enough good outside shooters around him, that's okay. You know, they have Middleton, they have Brogdon. Who else do they have? Oh, yeah, they lost Jabari Parker. Forgot to factor that in when considering what Milwaukee's doing. But they, it's still something where, as dynamic as he is, and if he's going to take to a game, which he did last year, you got to do better than 31%.
Yeah, so you do. Yeah.
You can just get up to like 35.
Get to the league average?
Yeah. Just then he'll be an absolute monster.
Yeah. I mean, you get him at that league average, and that first step that's already lightning quick is going to put guys on the floor.
Okay, let's jump to the next topic. There was some discussion about the Lakers' new threads, their new look, the new jerseys. New jerseys. See what I did there? Did you guys see them? And what did you think about them? Because there's one thing that seems very out of place, and it's not LeBron James' number.
I did see them. I don't think I looked as closely as you did, though.
Well, I think it was brought to attention by our buddy Greg. You know, Johnny Utah pointed it out.
I'm not seeing what the deal is.
Look at the purple jersey. There's something weird about the purple jersey, and I don't get it.
The R and the S just melt together?
Look at the side of the purple jersey.
The black?
The black.
Right.
There's this giant black stripe that I don't understand for the life of me.
Maybe they're still incorporating the Black Mamba into it.
Oh, don't make
me. I'm sorry.
Don't
come
make
on.
Me vomit on the podcast. That is just ridiculous.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Why would you do that though?
I don't know.
It's not one of your colors.
It was the first thought that came to mind, and it was Kobe that designed their city jersey.
Look,
I'm just saying, I
don't have any problem with the black Lakers jersey. As a matter of fact, it's a very nice looking jersey.
Kobe designed it, by the way, and it's their city jersey, and it's got the whole scaly feel to it, like the Black Mamba.
Right, and I like that jersey. Okay. You can quote me on it. Devin likes a Lakers jersey. But I don't understand it on these ones. It seems very out of place, and it tinkers with the classic look that I don't think should have been done.
Okay.
All right. Just wanted to know if you guys agree. We talked a little bit about athletes doing good things, so we probably should talk about the King.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Because LeBron opens the I Promise School in Akron, his hometown, which will provide students, I can't remember how many, I believe they're third and fourth grade this year, with free tuition, free uniforms, free bicycle, helmet, free transportation within 2 miles of the school, free breakfast, free lunch, free snacks, a free food pantry for the families, GEDs and job placement services for the parents. And upon graduation, guaranteed tuition at the University of Akron for those students. This is, in a word, wonderful. Is it not?
Incredible.
Yep, he is not shutting up and dribbling. Good for him.
And I don't care if you hate LeBron, if you don't like him, whatever it may be. You have to take a step back and see what he's doing here. And the guy deserves mass props for this. Mass props.
Okay. No, I just, it's one of those things. It's fantastic to see, and it's fantastic to see him doing it back at home. you know, he leaves Cleveland. He gets them their title, but I think this is, he would say, the greatest moment in his career, and it just speaks volumes to his character. And the hope is that we'll see more NBA players taking this step.
Agreed.
And matter of fact, we already have. Did you see about Derrick Rose launching the Rose Scholars Program?
I did.
That is a scholarship program that will award $400,000 in college tuition to high school students. Not a bad start.
Did you see that, John?
Yeah. And that goes back to what we talked about at the beginning. There are a lot of guys in the league who do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, there is. It's nice to see in a league where it's a players' league and we're watching money just being thrown at players. It's nice to see them giving money back to the communities and back to people to help people out. I think it's incredible.
All right, let's jump to the next quick hit. Alan, this isn't going to be your thing, but
okay.
But it's soccer. Ibrahimovic Zlatan scores his first MLS hat trick. Alan doesn't care, so I'm just going to ask you, John. Do you think that these EuroLeague players coming to the States to play in MLS, even if it's at the tail end of their career, is going to make a difference for the sport? Because he has been electric since coming into the league, and he has that big personality that MLS desperately needs.
Yeah, and I don't know how much bigger Major League Soccer is going to get. I still feel like it's down the list when it comes to American sports people watch. But it also feels like every 4 years when the World Cup comes around, interest goes up a bit. And then if you can have a guy like that be in the league making headlines, it helps. Gosh, how do I put this? I've been to a Real Salt Lake game, and it was fun. And I watched the championship game when they won there, when they won the championship that year. But it's still just one of those sports it's just kind of down the list, you know. There's football, basketball, baseball, hockey, and then you start getting the stuff like golf, and soccer is still probably around there. And I think that's okay. The league is still profitable. It's just not going to be.
Well, there went our chances for having Rudy Gobert and Ricky Rubio on the podcast. Thanks, John. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
See, I don't know, because when it comes down to it, for me, I would rather watch soccer than I would baseball on TV. I would love to watch a baseball game live in person.
I can't do either or. I'd rather watch both of them live in person. Otherwise, I'll fall asleep during both. Sorry, soccer fans. Sorry, baseball fans. But neither one's something I'm interested in.
And truth be told, I don't know that I'll be watching much NFL anymore. You know, I'm just kind of fed up with the league. And that could change. You know, we'll see what happens. But for me, soccer kind of comes in at that number three spot. Because I'm going to watch the NBA, and then I'll watch my college football. And then you've got like college basketball and Real Salt Lake on that same level for me.
Okay.
But that's where I'm at. I'm not going to watch a hockey game. I am, you know what I mean?
Sadly, I'd probably put golf ahead of soccer and baseball as well.
Out.
Sorry. Yep. I said it.
Get
Sorry,
out.
Guys. Said it. Especially if Tiger's playing, I'm all over that.
You geriatric fool. All right. You want to talk about Tiger? Let's talk about Tiger. Tiger. Phil, Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes, sir.
You guys looking forward to that? It sounds like Alan is a weirdo.
John, are you looking forward to it?
When it gets here, yeah, probably.
John, do you watch golf? Please help me out. Tell me I'm not the only geriatric fool that watches it.
No, not really.
Dang it. All right, fine.
I'm not going to tell you what I think about when it comes to people who watch golf. I'm going to step away from it. We're going to leave it alone.
Yeah, well, I'm probably going to get some text messages and tweets over the next week from followers and friends who have listened to the show that are going to be like, Alan, really? Golf? Really?
By the way, you should look up that YouTube video going around about how if soccer commentators commented on golf and if golf commentators commented on soccer.
I'm already picturing how that's going to turn out. So yes, I will have to look it up. Devin, go ahead. Sorry. Next.
No. Okay. Yeah. We got to jump to something else. I'm just checking this before I say anything, making sure that it is accurate. The 2018 college football rankings preseason coaches poll is out.
Oh,
and I want to know,
do tell,
do you care?
Unless there are local teams on it, probably not.
I support, his handle is Staircase Wit, that we ban preseason polls for college football.
Yes.
You know what? I am on board with that.
There should not be a poll on college football until at least week four.
How often does the top 10 shift and move within the first 3 weeks? Like all the time, right?
Well, here, you want me to run down the list, what we have?
Just give us top 10 and call it good.
No, I'm going to run down the whole list.
Oh, here we go. All right.
You've got Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma, Washington, Wisconsin, Miami, Penn State, Auburn. There's your top 10. Moving into the next top 10, 11 through 20. Had to do it. You know why. Number 11, mm-hmm. Notre Dame, Michigan State, Stanford, Michigan, USC, TCU, Virginia Tech, Mississippi State, Florida State. Florida State, West Virginia. 21 through 25, you've got Texas, Boise State, University of Central Florida, LSU, Oklahoma State. Just to give you an idea of where our local teams are, Utes came in 1, 2, 3, 4 votes out, so they're 29th, I believe.
Mm-hmm. BYU wasn't even mentioned.
No other local team was mentioned.
Yeah, I know BYU wasn't mentioned. I can guarantee you that. All right, I see why you had to go with 11 through 20. You have to have the Notre Dame bias. I get it.
What?
Notre Dame bias.
What?
I get it.
What?
But I agree with Staircase Wit. Back to your point. I mean, let's get rid of preseason polls. In fact, I don't think you need to release a poll until what? Week 5, maybe 6?
That's what I just said. Week right. 4 at least.
Right.
Because I mean, your first, at least for your big teams.
Well, you might
your power 5 conference teams, generally speaking, your first week is a cupcake.
Right. And you might as well release. In fact, I just release the regular polls when you release the BCS polls, right? Or the college playoff polls. When they start releasing those, that's when you should start releasing the rest of the polls, because that's when it matters most.
All right. Should we talk about something that matters more?
Yes.
Let's stick with college football. Yeah.
You know where you're going.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about Ohio State. Let's talk about Urban Meyer. He's on paid leave now. It was one of the, John, help me out here, because I don't know the full story. My understanding is that it was one of the assistant coaches.
Zach Smith, I believe it was. And he had allegations back in 2009 of domestic abuse, and they're saying that Urban knew about that. They're saying he also knew about the 2015 accusations. And see, this would have been, if Urban knew about it in 2009 and still asked this coach to come with him to Ohio State, that just kind of speaks about his judgment. And so these other accusations came out, and Urban is now on paid administrative leave, because if you have something serious like that going on and you're helping cover up, yeah, that's not going to be looked upon lightly by the school.
Especially in light of today's, with everything so magnified today, you just can't let this stuff go. You can't. But domestic abuse, it's unacceptable. And turning your head to it, equally unacceptable. So.
Now, for me, I agree 100%. And I'm just going to play devil's advocate here. If he knew about it, and let's say if because this is not just like a coworkers. It sounds like this is kind of like, you know, friends with the families. If they are saying, let's say Urban comes out and says, yes, I knew about it. We had talked with the spouse. They were working, trying to work out their issues, this, that, and the other. And yeah, it's still a poor judgment call, absolutely, on behalf of the university. You know, you're bringing someone into the university that could reflect poorly upon them. But where does his responsibility lie if, as a couple, as a family, they are working through the, trying to work through the issues and thinking that this is going to be resolved when Urban makes that decision to say, hey, come with me to Ohio State? That, does that change anything? You know, what is the level of responsibility that you have here? Do you automatically cast someone out? I'm not saying it's acceptable by any way,
right,
by any means.
Right. No, and I see where you're going. And while I think it's unacceptable on both counts, like I said, there's also a gray area or fine line as far as what's being done about it. And I think that's what you're getting to. What is being done about it that maybe isn't being talked about out in the open either? What's being done to resolve the issue between coaches if the coach knows about it? And you're right. The coach is not a marriage counselor, nor is he responsible for...
Is he supposed to be judge, jury, and executioner when it comes to this person's career?
I don't think he should be, but I do think it needs to be brought to the attention of, say, the school at that time or whoever it is, so that they know that this is going on and let them make that choice. Because as an institution, that should be their decision, don't you think?
Well, here's why it's a headline right now. The 2009 incident... the charges were ultimately dropped, and the wife, Courtney Smith, the ex-wife, is saying that Urban Meyer's friends talked her into dropping the charges.
Okay, that
and you... she was pregnant at the time, so she dropped the charges. 2015, there was this incident, and police investigated it, but ultimately he wasn't charged. But she let a lot of the Ohio State coaches' wives know what happened, including Urban Meyer's wife. And so, you know, I mean, it's not like he was arrested or anything. It just ultimately never happened in both cases. But when Ohio State found out about the report, they fired Zach Smith anyway. And so she's filed for divorce, and she gave an interview where she says, you know, she finds it impossible to believe that Urban Meyer did not know about the 2015 incident when she told his wife. You have to believe that Urban Meyer's wife refused to tell him about it, which just strains credulity. So that's what's why it's going on right now.
And with that extra bit in mind, if in fact he had something to do with her dropping charges, that's definitely something that needs to be looked at.
Yeah, absolutely. That's in no way the position of Urban Meyer, you know what I mean, to try and influence someone's decision that way.
Yep, that's influencing from someone in power. Yeah, shouldn't happen.
On the secondary ones, the ones from 2015, with what you said, John, if there's no charges filed, and it's, you know what I mean, divorces get ugly.
Yeah, they do.
That's just how it is. And it doesn't mean that behavior is acceptable or anything else. But there can be a lot of things that are said that aren't necessarily true. And it's one of those things that if it's coming back 3 years later to bite Urban Meyer, you know, it's not even the guy. How much responsibility does Urban have? The university, you said, knew. They made a decision. They let him go. How does this come back to Urban Meyer to say, well, he said, she said, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, if it happened, yeah, it's unacceptable. And Urban should have taken this information to the university.
Absolutely.
That's the fact of the matter. If it were really a concern with the ex-wife and she wanted to make it known, why are you going to the other coaches' wives?
Right.
And it seems like gossip, rather than going to the university and saying, I want you to be aware this is what has happened.
I see where you're going.
This is who you have. You know what I mean? And then again, the university can make the decision. But it sounds very gossipy in the way that it was gone about.
Unless she felt that the other wives, particularly Urban Meyer's wife, was in a position of trust and she could talk to her for advice or help.
Right.
We don't know the nature of these discussions, right? We don't.
But then you're just having a discussion. You know what I mean?
Right.
Is she doing it maliciously? Like,
I know.
Because now she's like, well, he should have done this. Well, I don't know that I agree.
Right.
And I'm not saying this because I am a huge Urban Meyer fan. Yes, I liked him at Utah. Yes, I liked the piece that he wrote about dealing with mental health last year. But if this were any other coach, I'd say the same thing. I think there's, I don't know. It's a muddy situation. And I feel like there definitely these things should be taken seriously.
Agreed.
If we learned anything from Penn State, certain things should be taken to the administration and something should be done about
immediately.
It. Immediately. You know, but this is not the level that Penn State was.
No.
This is a marital domestic issue that Urban Meyer is maybe getting secondhand from his wife. And who knows how she presented the information. You know what I mean? It just, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Should he lose his job? I'll leave that to the university. But definitely something to interesting to look at on such a huge scale.
Agreed.
There was one other thing I thought I wanted to talk about. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Okay, I'm sorry to get political, but John, I just need to know your feelings. Glenn Jacobs is now the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee.
Yes.
I just need to know, would you want him to be your mayor?
Yeah, I would love Glenn Jacobs as my mayor. I'm trying to remember who my mayor is now. I think the mayor of Orem is Richard Brunst. He's actually a very thoughtful guy. When you go look at who the real Glenn Jacob is and the stuff that he actually believes and wants to prove, how do we put this? Not very many wrestlers have gone into politics, and the ones that have a very spotty record. But Glenn is no Jesse Ventura. I think he's actually a level smart guy. And you're picking someone that.
Sorry, John. Hang on, we're losing you.
You started breaking out again. So go back and repeat that last phrase.
If you're picking a professional wrestler to go politics, and you want to look at who and how his brain works, Glenn Jacobs is a pretty smart, full guy. He is a choice for mayor, especially if you're picking from that field.
Okay.
I think best ones you could get.
So what you're saying, I was going to bring another wrestler politics into this, Jesse Ventura, but anyway.
Yeah, Jesse's nuts.
Yeah.
And that's what guys in that field are. You know, WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump is a spotty, but... WWE or Donald Trump. But Glenn's a smart, thoughtful guy. I've read interviews with him. Whenever he's out of character, you can tell that he's a genuinely intelligent person who I think will do it. And it's only mayor.
Okay.
So something to follow, you know, athletes going into politics, who will be next. But for right now, congratulations to Kane on being elected mayor of Knox County. And I think that is going to round out Quick Hits. I think we've spent a lot of time on them. So we'll jump to pop culture.
We'll jump on to pop culture. John, you have a movie to talk about this week. I haven't seen it. My wife and kids have seen it. They loved it. I want to hear your thoughts on it. And the movie is?
Mamma Mia 2. So it was my 11-year-old daughter's turn to pick a movie for me to take her to. She saw the first one recently, really wanted to see the second one, so we went to see Mamma Mia 2. It it was about what I expected, but slightly different. It's really, the majority of it is a prequel to the first movie. I gathered there was going to be flashbacks, but I didn't realize that like 2/3 of the movie was going to be when she was younger. So Lily James, who was known for starring in the recent live action Cinderella movie, she plays the young Donna, who was Meryl Streep, and she has the vast majority of the lines, the vast majority of the songs. She's really good. You know, the plot's even thinner this time around than it was last time. And one thing that really surprised me is they had Meryl Streep's character dead. And they did a good job of hiding that Meryl Streep is hardly in this movie at all. She only shows up for like the last 5 minutes. And I was like, wow, okay, that's kind of bold. Maybe Meryl Streep didn't think she had enough time in her schedule, so they just wrote this whole other story so that they could use her in marketing and get her name on the poster. But, you know, it looked like she probably only did one day of work on the movie.
Okay.
So I liked it. If you like the first one, you like the second one. I thought the second one was a little better because I didn't have as many issues with it as I did the first one. So, you know, you're getting exactly what you want out of it. You're just watching "Will Be Beautiful" in Greece and singing ABBA songs.
Well, and it's funny. I liked the first one. We own it at home for obvious reasons. My wife and kids love it. But I have I watched it again? No, I've watched it once. That was it. It's funny because the other day I threw in the ABBA Gold album, was listening to it, and my daughter, my 15-year-old, she's like, "Dad, this is so not good." I said, "What are you talking about? Mamma Mia." She goes, "Play the Mamma Mia soundtrack. I prefer that." I go, "No, these guys wrote the music. They wrote the musical Mamma Mia, but they wrote the songs and performed them. I love them better. It's classic." It was just kind of funny to have this little argument with her. And then when I brought up ABBA and I brought up the fact that they had done Mamma Mia, which she already knew, then she says, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, one of the guys from ABBA is actually in the movie, and it was Bjorn that's in the movie," because I showed her a picture of Bjorn, and she's like, "Yeah, he's in the movie. He's the bartender, I think, or something like that. I can't remember. No, uncle. Anyway, I know he was in one of the movies or both the movies, but it was just interesting to hear her talk and have this conversation. And here comes the old geriatric stuff again. Yes, Devin, I know. But it's ABBA, and you can't go wrong with ABBA. Please tell me, Devin, that you like ABBA."
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Not my thing.
And have you seen Mamma Mia?
Also not my thing.
Okay, then. So, no. I'm with you, John. I mean, I'll probably see the second one when it comes out on DVD because I know we'll end up with it, and I'll watch it because, okay, yeah. But not big into it. I prefer the ABBA music better, so, and more. So, yeah. And I haven't seen any movies to talk about that I can think of. Devin, have you seen any Netflix binging for you lately?
Most I've been watching is The IT Crowd, I think is what it's called.
I can't get into it. I can't.
You can't get into it?
No.
I find it funny.
I watched one episode and went, nope. John, did you like The IT Crowd?
I did. Of course, I worked in IT, so...
Well, I've worked in IT for 10 years. I still can't get into The IT Crowd.
Really?
I watched the first episode and went, no.
I don't think you gave it a fair chance. I think
you don't like British humor?
I do like some British humor. I think that's where this all comes down to, is maybe my love of British humor isn't quite as passionate as the rest of you.
Maybe you're more American than we are.
Okay.
You know.
Do your genealogy. Get in touch with your European roots.
I definitely have European roots. Hello, my last name is Zog. It is very, very Swiss and German, and yeah.
Look, it's British humor. Some people would say it's humor from the United Kingdom.
Okay.
They used to call it English humor.
Oh, boy. I mean, if you throw me in front of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, now you're talking.
Alan's probably someone who doesn't like Monty Python.
No, actually, I don't.
Okay, we're done here. We're done here.
Needed to hear. It's closed.
It suddenly makes sense.
But again, I have read the book. I have read the book for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Aside from seeing the movie, I've read the book. It's actually very entertaining. So maybe I do get some British humor. Did I ruin everything by saying I don't like Monty Python? Did I?
You really did. I think we're done with you.
Fine.
I don't have, like I said, I don't have much in terms of television watching, but I do have something that's coming up that I'd like to mention.
Yes.
If that's okay.
Yes.
And it's not movie related. It's okay. Not sports related.
You want to talk about your concert coming up?
I do.
Let's
I do.
Do it.
I play in a band. Some of you may know this, called Oxford Grey. And we got a gig opening on a national touring show, and I'm pretty stoked about it. It's going to be on Monday, the 13th of August at Club X.
Yes.
We will be.
Which is where?
It is in downtown Salt Lake.
Okay.
We will be opening for Emery. Many of you may have heard of them. They were very, very popular when I was young and in high school,
which is recent,
about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So they've still been putting out new music, but we're opening for them, a band called Comrades and a band called Rough Start, and tickets are $20. It should be a lot of fun. And if you guys are into kind of some heavy rock music, would love to see you there and say hi.
So, yeah. See, and I've seen Devin's band perform live. They put on a good show. Trying to decide what would we put your genre when it comes to the band, because it was seemed very, I'm not going to say emo. I hate the term.
We're kind of an emo pop punk. We sound like 2005.
Okay.
That's kind of what it is.
Yeah. And with the fact that you guys could cover Lit's, My Own Worst Enemy.
We did do that.
The fact that I heard you cover that, it kind of fits that tone a little bit. I just didn't want to put the emo, label on
you. That's acceptable, but wanted to throw it out there. If you would like to go to this concert and you are willing to pay $20 to do so, hit me with a DM or just tweet at me and we'll figure out how to make that happen. I will deliver tickets to you if you are within reasonable proximity.
Do it, folks.
If you are in Australia, I am not giving you tickets, but I will give you a virtual high five or something.
There you go. And we do have some Australian listeners. So, but do it, folks, in Salt Lake City. Check them out. I promise you, I've seen the band perform live and they're good. So it's worth your time. And Devin's excited just to be opening for Emery. So
I am. High school me is freaking out. So that's it. I think that's okay. That's my spiel for pop culture.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up. We want to thank you all for joining us. I just want to add, hey, everybody, go hug somebody today. Go hug somebody. Tell them that they matter. Tell them that you love them, because it will mean something to someone. I promise you that. And I'm saying that from a very personal level right now. So just go out, tell somebody you appreciate them. Tell them that you love them. Give them a hug. Tell them that they matter, please. With that.
John, you're lucky you're in a different city, because I'm the only person around right now.
I was trying to be serious there, and there we went with the jokes. Anyway, thank you all. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate you being along each and every week and supporting us. And you can find us anywhere you listen to a podcast. Just look up Jedi and Germs. Find us on Twitter and Facebook, Jedi and Germs. Join our discussion. Check us out and let us know what you think of the shows. We love your feedback. We love you being along with us. Thank you very much. We'll look for you next time. John, take us out.
Bye-bye, everybody.